It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. When you think about pies, what kind of pie do you think of first? We asked members of our texting group about this. Tony in Champaign said chocolate pecan pie and lemon meringue are his favorites. Christopher in Brimfield told us cherry pie goes a long way in making Thanksgiving dinner great. And Jesse in Mattoon said, just like my father always said, there are only two good types of pie, hot and cold. Tony, Christopher, Jesse, thank you for those messages. We often say something is as American as apple pie, but the irony in that saying is that apple pie, and pie in general, came about long before America was even a country. Still, pies of all kind run through our culinary history, and we've run with the ideas and made them a part of our culture. Catherine Lambrecht knows a lot about pies. She's the founder of the Greater Midwest Foodways Alliance, which looks at the traditions and uniqueness behind our food in the American Midwest. She's also vice president of the Culinary Historians of Chicago. She's been a frequent judge of food contests across the Midwest, including in Illinois. She's also been a master gardener and master food preserver with the University of Illinois Extension, and those are just some of the many titles she's carried. She joins us now to talk a bit more about the history of pies and the role Illinois played in that history. Catherine, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here today.
And listeners, I should say, in order to make our schedules meet, we taped with Catherine yesterday afternoon. So because of that, we cannot take calls today, but you can let us know what you think. talk@21stshow.org. All right, Catherine, what are some of your favorite pies?
Well, Concord grape. That's not one you hear about very often in this area. But I do love apple. I do love pecan. I do love pumpkin. And pretty much if somebody else makes it, it's even better.
Tell me more about the Concord grape pie. Where does that from? What goes into it? What's it like?
Well, the Concord grape, as we know it, was something that was developed, or shall I say, sorted out in the 1840s. This one guy went through 20,000 varieties before he settled on what we now call the Concord grape. And in the Northeast, it's a popular pie. In this region, you pretty much don't encounter it. But it's one of those pies that when I first read about it, I never dreamed I would make it. But as I mentioned, I was a master food preserver, and somebody gifted me with 60 pounds of Concord grapes.
Wait, 60 pounds? What is the volume of 60 pounds? That's like a pound of feathers and a pound of lead. What is the volume of 60 pounds of grapes?
Several bushels.
Okay.
And
okay.
I was overwhelmed. And after I did the jellies and the jams and the preserves, I then went and looked at this recipe I had picked out of the Chicago Tribune back in the 1970s. And I went, okay, we're going to give this a shot. Because prior to that, I was like, yeah, servantless American cook. I don't have all day to pluck seeds. But you take a ripe Concord grape and you squeeze it, and the pulp and the seeds fly out. And you put the skins aside, and you collect all of that pulp. You bring it to a boil, and about 90% of the seeds to the top. How easy can that be? You know? Then once you've sorted out that nasty 10% of seeds, then you add the grape skins, boil it together, and I bag it up in 2 cups and 2 tablespoons, because I use the Rose Levy Barenbaum recipe from the Pie Bible to make my Concord grape pies. And one of the fun things about this pie, it turns your teeth lightly purple for a while. So you don't have to wear the shirt that says, I'm with Kathy. You could wear the shirt. You can just simply smile and your teeth give it away.
Yeah, yeah. No stealing that pie.
And by the way, when you walk in with a Concord grape, at least grape pie in this region, there is not likely to be another one served. So that also makes it fun.
Fair point. All right. So, you know, we often think of pie in terms of dessert, but it can be a lot more than that, especially if you go back in history. So, for example, what did pie mean to American settlers?
Survival sometimes. Survival because, for instance, you could take 30 bushels of apples, and once you've skinned them, cored them, sliced them up, and dried them, they're down to 3 bushels. And when they're down to 3 bushels, you could put it on your Conestoga wagon. And if your rations are light at the moment, you can rehydrate the apples, maybe make a crude crust. When I say crude, it's, you know, it maybe the flour wasn't quite as nice as and sifted as what we have today, so there might be stones and stuff. But you make a pie crust, you cook the pie, and you cook it in a Dutch oven, one of those cast iron Dutch oven with coals on the bottom and coals on top. Frankly, it's not just baking a pie. You can do a roast. You can bake bread with that Dutch oven, but you don't need a brick and mortar oven, which is what I'm really getting at.
And just do it out on the range like we did in the Boy
Just do it out in
Scouts.
the range, and it could be breakfast, lunch, and dinner if things are not looking great.
So, how does that stick with us now, especially in terms of all the different kinds of pies there are for people to eat and to make?
I would have to say the whole pie scene. I live in the Chicago area, and sometimes the only people who got homemade pies, if you knew somebody like me who made pies. Now there's bakeries that feature pies, there's restaurants that serve pies. I hope I'm answering your question, but it's a lot more pleasant and easy to get a good slice of pie today than it was 20 years ago, which is really tremendous.
Yeah. All right. Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking for the last part of our program today about the history of pies, anticipating Thanksgiving next week, and specifically Illinois' part of that story, Illinois' piece of that story, you might say. We're talking about this with Catherine Lambrecht, culinary expert, frequent state fair food event judge, and founder of the Greater Midwest Foodways Alliance. So let's talk about some of Illinois' contributions to the history of pie. For example, we grow more pumpkins than any other state. A vast majority of canned pumpkin is processed at the Libby's plant in Morton. How did that come to be?
Well, in 1835, Elijah Dickinson moved from Tennessee to Illinois. He went to Eureka, then he built a home in Washington, and then he eventually did have facilities in Morton. But he came with seeds. And the seeds are what we now call the Dickinson squash or pumpkin, but it's really a squash. I know there's a difference, but that's too much for this short of time. But
But when you see them, they don't
he
look like the kind of, Charlie Brown special type pumpkins
oh
that people,
no oh no In fact, it's a cross between a Tennessee squash and the butternut squash. The Tennessee was just a large squash. It was stringy, it wasn't very good in taste, but matched up with the butternut squash, wow, it became something really fabulous. And these grow up to 40 pounds. And I recently, when I say recently, last year, I got for the first time a Dickinson squash in my hands. It weighed 14 pounds. That's a small one. The 40-pound ones, when they reach the factory, they've gone from being washed to being in a can within 90 minutes. If you make pumpkin pie from one of these little pumpkins, these sweetie pie pumpkins, you're waiting a long time for it to drain. You haven't even gotten through half of the process in 90 minutes. But that thing, 90 minutes. And so now I have in my freezer, I'm going to serve it this year, I have a frozen packet of the Dickinson squash that is nicely orange colored, and it tastes just like it came out of a can out of Libby's, except it wasn't processed. So it doesn't have that slightly brownish color, which we now associate with pies, these pies, but it's been processed. And when you've been pressure canned, things change. And definitely with the Dickinson squash. But it's delicious. And now they actually have some fields in Michigan as a backup.
Wow.
There was a problem about 15 years ago, and the problem wasn't related to the product. The problem was getting it out of the fields. There was just too much rain, and so it wasn't a problem. We all had our pumpkin for Thanksgiving, but if you had a dog with an upset tummy, you just didn't have the pumpkin the vet recommended.
Huh. All right. Another text message from Lloyd in Danville. He says, "Thanksgiving means family time. The plus is that my birthday is on Thanksgiving Day this year. As African Americans, we make sweet potato pie. Countless families make their own variation of this pie, so the end result can vary based on what was passed down. What would holidays be without family?" he asks. Lloyd, happy early birthday. Thanks for the text message. Catherine, this can spark some friendly debate. Pumpkin pie, sweet potato pie, and of course, there's some history there, too. We actually have some tape. This is Harvest Public Media reporter Chad Davis back in 2023.
The reasons why people choose one over the other often trace back to where the person was raised and their race.
Even though pumpkins were available in the South, sweet potato becomes the one of choice. And I think maybe that has something to do with the African presence.
That's soul food historian and James Beard Award-winning author Adrian Miller. He says the potatoes may have resonated among enslaved people because they're somewhat similar to yams grown in West Africa. But he says cooking the natively grown sweet potato into a pie, that's a more European influence.
All right, Catherine, how about it? What sets apart sweet potato pie from pumpkin pie, in your view?
Sometimes I have made that, and my family was completely fooled and never questioned that they had a pumpkin pie when they had a sweet potato pie. By the way, George Washington Carver did a lot of research on the sweet potato during World War II to try to get other foods available and other things considered when there were, you know, food shortages and food priority was to go to the troops. But there's actually one other pie that's in the African American community, but it depends on which segment of the African American community, and that's the Muslims. They have a bean pie and it's made from navy beans, and it is tastes like a pumpkin pie because of the seasonings. But it doesn't quite look like a pumpkin pie. But if you're in an area where there is an African-American Muslim population, you get a bean pie. How about that?
Fascinating. All right, one other thing I wanted to ask you about is the American folk hero Johnny Appleseed. I understand he actually roamed at least parts of Illinois. What is the legacy of his work, especially as it comes to pie?
Okay, it's really not. Because the apples, he grew everything by seed. He didn't believe in grafting. He did roam, and he always seemed to be just ahead of the latest wave of settlers. And so he would grow nurseries of these of apples, but it wasn't apples intended for pie. It was apples intended for making fermented beverages, hard cider. I know, it's a surprise. But for the 200th anniversary of the state of Illinois, the Illinois History Society, they had a Johnny Appleseed tree donated to every county. And I happened to be with the Highland Park Historical Society. The president of that organization also happened to live in Highland Park. And so we do have a Johnny Appleseed tree, but it's intended really for hard cider and not pie. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. So it's the other part of the Thanksgiving dinner, maybe the part that makes it a little more tolerable. All right, last question. What do you hope people understand about pies and our history with them, you know, as we are gathering around our holiday tables in the coming month or so?
Okay, so when you have the person who shows up at the table who challenges that apple pie or pies is really European and not American, I like to make the parallel to pepperoni pizza. If you order a pepperoni pizza in Italy, you get a pizza full of peppers. If you order it here in Illinois or elsewhere nearby, you get pepperoni, the delightfully tasty sausage that's 101 years old this year, developed in the United States. I would say we took what we liked and what we needed, and we made it our own. So they may do what they do in Europe, but we have our own variation here, just like we do with pizza.
Catherine Lambrecht, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for joining us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you. And happy Thanksgiving.
That's it for us this week. Thank you to the people in our texting group who shared their thoughts with us today. If you want to join for future conversations, you can do that by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, text the word TALK, T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Harrison Malkin, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Kulsum Khan. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again on Monday.